بأنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness to La ilaha illallah, He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the hellfire. Before we begin with today's topic, inshallah, I want to just continue from last week on our talk about this deen, al-Islam, and the virtues and the characteristics of this deen. I have wanted to mention a hadith last week that I have forgot, and today I'll mention it. And it's the statement of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يبقى على ظهر الأرض بيت مدر ولا وبر إلا أدخله الله كلمة الإسلام إما بعزي عزيز أو ذلي ظليل إما يعزهم الله فيجعلهم من أهلها أو يظلهم فيدينون لها. And this is collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and this hadith is authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will not remain a house on this earth, not in the city or in the countryside, except that Allah will enter the kalima of Islam into that house, either by the might of the mighty or the humiliation of the humiliated. The might that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the people who enter this deen, and the humiliation that Allah puts upon those people who don't accept this deen. We see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that one of the characteristics of this deen is that there will not remain a house on the face of this earth except that Islam will enter into that house, either by the people accepting Islam or by them being humiliated by Islam, and that Islam will enter into their houses by the Muslims who conquer the lands of the disbelievers. And in another narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes it even clearer as he says, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ وَلَا يَتْرُكُ اللَّهُ بَيْتَ مَدَرْ وَلَا وَبَرْ إِلَّا أَدَخَلَهُ اللَّهُ هَذَا الدِّينِ بعز عزيز أو بذل ذليلا عزا يعز الله به الإسلام وذلا يذل به الكفر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration says that this deen will reach everything that the day and the night has reached, and it will not leave a house in the city or the countryside except that Allah will enter this deen into that house, either by the might of the mighty or by the humiliation of the humiliated. The might that Allah gives to the people of this is the people of Islam, and the humiliation that Allah has given to the people of kufr. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the characteristic of this deen, that there won't remain a house on the face of the earth except that it will know about Islam, either by someone in that house accepting Islam, or either by the kafirs knowing the power and the might of Islam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the Muslims the victory by controlling this earth, as the Muslims had once ruled the whole planet earth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to live that which the people of Islam have lived before us. Ameen. So this was the hadith I wanted to end off last class, to show that this deen is so mighty, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks the truth, that there won't remain a house on the face of this earth except that this deen will be in it. So that's glad tidings to the believers, that we shouldn't think that we're the minority or that the people won't hear of Islam, but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to allow every single household on the face of this earth, no matter where they are, to hear about the truth, the deen al-Islam. Also, from last week's class, there was a slight difference of opinion as to the issue, is it permissible to set the prices in the marketplace for the Muslims or not? I said that I had remembered memorizing a hadith where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had showed us clearly that it was not permissible for us to set the prices for the Muslims. And the brother in the back had said that that it was permissible for the Muslims to set the prices, meaning that one Muslim or one body of Muslims would set the prices for all of the Muslims in the marketplace. For example, those who are selling bread or rice or whatever, that he would say rice is such and such a pound and bread is such and such a loaf, and that no one would have the choice in setting their own prices to their own product. Today, alhamdulillah, I have brought those authentic hadith from the Sunan of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and the Sunan Ad-Darimi. And these hadith are authentic hadith, alhamdulillah, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anna rajulan ja'a faqala ya Rasulallah sa'ir. Faqala bal ad'u. Thumma ja'ahu rajulun faqala ya Rasulallah sa'ir. Faqala balillahu yakhfidu wa yarfa'u wa inni arju an alqa Allah wa laysa li ahadin indi mazlama. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this authentic hadith that's collected on the authority of Abu Huraira, says, as Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, a man came and he said, O Messenger of Allah, set the prices. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, rather I would make dua. And in the explanation of this hadith, the ulama said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant by I would make dua, that I would make dua to Allah that he would increase the provisions for the Muslims. Then another man came and said, O Messenger of Allah, set the prices for us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah increases the provisions to who he wants to, and he restricts from whoever he wants to. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I hope that I would meet Allah and I hadn't oppressed anyone. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made it very clear that no one's going to set the prices. And then this other narration, and this was the narration that I had remembered, or I was trying to remember last week, on the authority of Anas, he said, قَالَ النَّاسُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ غَلَى السِّعْرُ فَسَعِرْ لَنَا فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمُسَعِرُ وَالْقَابِضُ الْبَاسِطُ الرَّازِقُ وَإِنِّي أَرْجُو أَنْ أَلْقَى اللَّهَ وَلَيْسَ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ يُطَالِبُنِي بِمَظْلَمَةٍ فِي دَمٍ وَلَا فِي مَالٍ. And this narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, as Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, that the people said, O Messenger of Allah, the prices are too high, so set the prices for us. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah is al-musa'ir, or the one who is going to allow the prices to be set at the level that they're set. And in another narration it says, inna allaha huwa al-khaliq, he is the creator. Al-Qabid, the one who restricts. Al-Basit, the one who allows the provisions to go forth. Al-Raziq, the provider. And I hope that I would meet Allah and there is not one from among you who would ask me for some type of... that not one from among you would be seeking to gain his right from me, referring to on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, with his life or with his wealth, because I have oppressed him. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it very clear that it is not permissible for him alayhi salatu wa salam or anyone else to set the prices. and that setting the prices, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is implying at the end of his statement, that he didn't want anyone on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah to say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam oppressed me in my life or concerning my wealth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is showing that setting the prices is actually a part of oppressing the believers. And because of that, Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah, he had named the chapter, which he put this hadith in, chapter The Prohibition of Setting the Prices for the Muslims. And also Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah, he said the chapter The Hatefulness of Setting the Prices. So this is why I had took the position last week that it is not permissible for anyone to set the prices for the Muslims, that anyone who has his business, his product, he can set the price however he likes. And whoever wants to buy can buy, and whoever doesn't want to buy doesn't have to buy. And if the brother has something to add from which he was trying to base his argument on last week, then the brother should present his case now. Have you submitted to it? Have you submitted to it? Have you submitted to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no one has the right to set the prices?
Yes, brother. All this, brother, I know it.
No, I'm asking you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. I swear by your Lord, none of you truly believes until they make you, O Messenger of Allah, the judge in the affairs that they differ in. And then they don't find any difficulty in themselves, but they submit willingly. I'm just asking you, are you submitting firstly to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the same thing you mentioned to us last week.
Yes, brother.
This week you were supposed to bring the text from the Quran or the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that validates that point that you're making. Otherwise, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That if, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not proper or befitting for a believing man or a believing woman, once Allah and His Messenger has decided an affair, that there's any choice in that affair. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone clearly astray. So I think we can say safely that is sufficient for us to have quoted the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is enough proof for us to see that it is permissible for anyone to set the prices. And with that, inshallah, we can begin with today's class. And if the brother wants to talk after the class, then we can talk. Otherwise, I think that as Muslims, we have an etiquette that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has detailed in us, for us in His book, فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. If you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger. If you believe in Allah and the last day, that is better as a final decision. So long as you keep saying, brother, the fuqaha say, or brother, I'm trying to say, or you don't see the explanation, it's not proper etiquette for the believers. When they differ in anything, to say other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided such and such. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided such and such, and then it's upon all of us as believers to submit to the verdict of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So long as the believers, we have an authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Imam Ad-Darimi in their Sunan, and this hadith is authentic and is very explicit in the same issue that we're talking about. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that the prices are too high, set the prices for us, and the Prophet salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi made it very clear that he can't do that, he'll make dua. So if there's a flood, or if there's a monopoly or whatever that someone is taking over the marketplace, we'll make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that he increase us and our provisions. Walhamdulillah. Today inshaAllah ta'ala we wanted to talk about that which is coming very soon, and it's the last hour or the day of judgment. But before that day comes, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had told us of signs that will precede that day, that will precede that hour, so that when we see these signs we can know that the day is coming soon. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had explained to the believers, and this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim on the authority of Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, لقد خطبنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة ما ترك فيها شيئا إلى قيام الساعة إلا ذكره علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله إن كنت لأرى الشيء قد نسيته فأعرفه كما يعرف الرجل الرجل إذا غاب عنه فرآه فعرفه. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a khutbah, and in that khutbah he didn't leave out any single thing until the day, until the last hour, except that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned those things. Know it who knows it, and be ignorant of it whoever is ignorant of it. Then he said, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, indeed, some of those things that I saw or that he heard from the Prophet ﷺ, I forgot them. But I know them just like one man knows another man, and if he's absent from him, he forgets about him, until when he sees them, he says, yes, I remember him. So here, Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he shows that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the believers of all of those things that would take place before that last hour would come to us. Just as in this next narration on the authority of Abu Zayd, Amr ibn al-Akhtab al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu qal, Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-fajr wa sa'ad al-minbar fakhatabana hatta hadrat al-zuhr fanazala fasalla thumma sa'ad al-minbar fakhatabana hatta hadrat al-asr thumma nazal thumma fasalla thumma sa'ad فخطبنا حتى غربت الشمس فأخبرنا بما كان وبما هو كائن فأعلمنا أحفظنا. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where Abu Zayd radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in Salatul Fajr, and after Fajr he got on the minbar, and then he gave us a khutbah until the time of Salat to Dhuhr. He got off the minbar, led us in the salah, then he got back on the minbar, and he gave us another khutbah all the way until the time of Salatul Asr. He got off the minbar, led the salah, got back on the minbar, gave another khutbah all the way until the sunset. He told us everything that had happened and will happen, and we know it, those among us who memorized it. And alhamdulillah, there are among the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam those who memorized from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam the hadith that show those things that would take place before the last hour comes. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in verses in His Quran, like in Surah Muhammad, verse number 18, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He speaks about the signs, or that there will be signs of the last hour, as He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, are they waiting for the hour to come upon them all of a sudden? Indeed, the signs of the hour have already come. And how would they be, or in what state would they be, when they are reminded of those things that would come before the hour? So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala here, and this verse is showing us that the sign, that there are signs of the hour and that they will come, and that we shouldn't sit around just waiting for that hour to come, but we should take heed to the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform us of, so when that hour comes, we can be ready for it. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told us that that hour is near. And we shouldn't think that that hour is so far away that we can continue sinning, and that tomorrow we would repent and to prepare to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah tells us, yas'alu in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 63, yas'alu kan nasu an as-sa'a qul innama 'ilmuha 'inda Allah wa ma yudrika la'alla as-sa'ata takunu qariba. And the people ask concerning the hour. They ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will that last hour come, so the people can be prepared for it. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala commanded him to say, the knowledge of that hour is with Allah alone. And what will make you realize that that hour is coming soon? Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ma'arij, verses 6 and 7, for lack of better words, the nature of human beings after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has informed us that this hour is soon, we still act like it's not coming anytime soon, and we just live our lives like Allah tabarak wa ta'ala isn't going to establish that hour and hold us accountable for what we do. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, innahum yarawnahu ba'ida wa narahu qariba. Indeed, they see it to be far off, that day, and we see it, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying, we see it to be something near. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has showed us that this hour is coming, and that this hour is near, and that the signs have already showed themselves. So to prepare yourselves for that day by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing in Him, and believing in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and following His sunnah. This is how we prepare for the hour, so that we can meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and He is pleased with us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the last verse in Surah Al-Kahf, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That whoever desires to meet his Lord, meaning whoever desires to meet his Lord, and his Lord will be pleased with the deeds that he has done, then let him work righteous deeds. These that are in accordance with the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't let him ascribe any partners in worship with his Lord, meaning to make sure that all of his deeds, all of his belief, all of his acts of worship are done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this obedience to Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the preparation for that hour to come. I have a book called Ashratu Sa'a, written by Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Wabil. And alhamdulillah, you can see the book is quite big, and it's a collection of authentic hadith on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing those things that would take place before the last hour. Of course, we won't be able to read the whole book in a class, but I've chosen some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith that we can all relate to, things that we have witnessed ourselves, so we can see that this hour is actually coming. Don't wait till tomorrow to repent and to start practicing this deen of Islam wholeheartedly, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had commanded us, as we have mentioned yesterday, last week, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafa. O you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. Take this whole deen of Islam today and practice it right now, because that hour is coming soon and you won't have the chance to practice it once it's established. He brings among the signs of the last hour the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam that has been collected by Imam Muslim, and it's the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, Bu'ithtu ana wassa'ati kahataini qal wa dhamma sababatu wal wusta. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I in the last hour have been sent like this. And then he held his index finger next to his middle finger like that, to show that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been sent as a messenger to humanity, that the hour is soon to come. And we've already seen 1400 years since the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How much more time do we think we have to go before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala establishes this last hour? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, as he's showing us some of the signs of the last hour, signs that we witness, and I wanted to start off with this sign, as it seems that we witness this sign more than any of the other signs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تأخذ أمتي بأخذ القرون قبلها شبرا بشبر وذراعا بذراع فقيل يا رسول الله أكفارس والروم فقال ومن الناس إلا أولئك. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and also Imam Muslim, with another narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, or where they said, Ya Rasulallah, al-Yahud wa al-Nasara, qala faman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the last hour would not be established until my ummah started to do the things of the people who came before them in an exactly identical manner. And it was said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like the Persians and the Romans, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who else if it's not them? And in the narration of Muslim, and also the other narration of Imam al-Bukhari, they said, Ya Rasulullah, you mean like the Jews and the Christians? He said, who else? This sign of the last hour, as I was trying to say, maybe we see this more than any other sign, that the Muslims imitate the Kufar in an exactly identical manner in their goals and objectives, and their dress code and in their jobs, and where they send their children to school, and what they want out of this world. All the way down the line, we see the Muslims imitating the Kufar and actually being pleased with it. That the more goals we accomplish, or the more that we imitate the Kafir, the happy we are. This is one of the signs of the last hour, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has showed us. And if I were to give examples, it would be talks or weeks of talks to show how much we imitate the Kufar in every single thing that we do. So much so that it is, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. That indeed Islam began strange, and it will return to being strange just the way it began. So give glad tidings to the غُرَبَى. The Prophet ﷺ said that this Islam began strange, and today it is strange for the Muslim to act like a Muslim, to dress like a Muslim, to live with the Muslims, to be with the Muslims. It's strange for the Muslims. And if the Muslims are asked, Akhi, why don't you dress like the Muslims? Why don't you act like the Muslims? Why don't you live like the Muslims? Why don't you spend your money with the Muslims? He's looking at you like you're crazy. As if you're calling him to a deen other than the deen that he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So we see that the hour is coming soon, Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us that among the signs that this hour is coming is that you would see the Muslims imitating the kuffar, and we see it in the exact identical manner as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had said. Also among the signs of the last hour is people claiming prophethood. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taqumu sa'atu hatta yub'ath ad-dajjalun kadhabun qareebun min 30 kulluhum yaz'amu annahu rasulullah." That the hour would not be established until there are sent dajjals who are liars. There are about 30 of them. All of them would allege or claim that he is a messenger of Allah. And us here in America, maybe we should be more worried than people other places, as we have seen them with our own eyes or heard about them with our own ears. And we've lived their programs. And some of us have even followed them in their programs, like Nobu Juwali and his fake prophethood. What are those people? Daddy Grace and Father Divine, Elijah Muhammad. And even some people said that Farrakhan had even claimed himself to be a prophet, following the prophet. Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, the one who established the Ahmadiyya sect, he claimed to be a prophet. All of this stuff, and we've seen it with our own eyes, people claiming to be a prophet. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this is one of the signs of the last hour, when the people would, liars would come, the Dajjals, and claiming that they will be the Messenger of Allah. And this is even so much so that when you say that, why do you all say Elijah was a prophet? They say, no, we didn't say he was a prophet. We said that he was a messenger. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they would claim to be messengers of Allah. And then you have other narrations where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that they would say that they are prophets or Nabi. وَأَنَا خَاتُمُ النَّبِيِّينَ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. That they would say, that they would claim that they are prophets, and I am the seal of the prophets. There are no more prophets after me. So we've seen this sign where the people are claiming to be prophets and messengers, other than the last prophet and messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And this is all to show us that that hour is coming. And the more we hear about the signs of the hour, the more we should start taking looks at our lives and at our deen, and looking at how we can get closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and how we can practice this deen better. Let's not just listen to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and be amazed at it, going off in a trip on a knowledge thing. Oh, subhanallah, the Prophet said that such and such would happen, and this would happen, and that would happen, just to be amazed and flattered at the statements of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. But he didn't speak in vain. That he's giving us these signs so as to warn us. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has told us that no one knows when that hour was. Because if we knew that there was an ayat that said that the hour is June the 12th, 1995, which would be tomorrow, Monday. If we knew that, you could imagine the worship and obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala we'd be until today if we knew that hour was tomorrow. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, al-Hakim, the wise, chose to keep this knowledge with himself in order to keep the people obedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, not sometimes like the Christians do on Sunday, or when their priest or minister claims that such and such will be the hour. And we've heard that those liars claim that the end of the world is such and such a day, at the end of the world is such and such a day. And I think the people still following them after the world hasn't even ended. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is informing us of this to give us the chance to see with our own eyes the reality of the nearness of this hour, so that we can start getting closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala every single minute in our lives, and not to make this deen every now and then type of thing. Like the Muslims sometimes do it, like you call them Jumu'ah Muslims or Ramadan Muslims or Eid Muslims or something like that. This deen has to be practiced every single day, because no one knows when that hour is coming, but we can see from the signs that for sure this hour is near. And as we see from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there won't be any more trust. that a Muslim will not be able to trust his Muslim brother. As the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظُرِ السَّاعَةِ, that when there's no more trust, then just wait for the hour to come. It was said, قَالَ كَيْفَ إِضَاعَتُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالْ إِذَا أُسْنِدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرُ السَّاعَةِ. And the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he explained what, when he was questioned, and what is the loss of the trust, O Messenger of Allah, he said, when something is being given to a person who is not rightful to have that thing. When you see that, wait for the hour. And let me try to say it in another way. You know that such and such isn't qualified for such and such of a job, but you hire him anyway because he's your boy, or he's your close Muslim, he's your father, your brother, your sister, or whatever. You want to give them the job and you know that they're not qualified. This is what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, inshallah, is meaning when he's saying that إِذَا أُسْنِدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, that when you are entrusting the people who you know can't handle that trust to deal with that responsibility, when that thing is being done, then just wait for the hour. And we can see it, and I don't know how much we see it, and maybe this is just the way I was seeing it after being in Arabia for so long and having tribes there and knowing how much so that the job is given to a person because of his tribe. As I remember, I had a Quran teacher who couldn't read the Quran. And we complained, and they said, listen, he's a Saudi. It's a rule from the government that no Saudi could be fired from his position. Whoever is hired cannot be fired. We also seen, I also saw there, and many people saw, it was an everyday thing that everybody was hired because he was in his tribe. And everyone knows, as they call it, the wasita. If you don't have a connection, if you don't have somebody on the inside looking out for you, forget it. If you want to be hired, accepted for the university, and you don't know anybody in the university, it's no need of even putting your application in, because they're not going to accept, except the people who they know. And the Prophet ﷺ, adding to that point, also showed us that one of the signs of the last hours where the people would only give salams to the people they know. And these hadith are in Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, and there are quite a few hadith showing that the Muslims would only give salams to the Muslims they know. Salamu alaykum, akhi, how you doing? As for the other people, he's just nixing them off. Well, I don't know the brother. Well, they Muslim, akhi. Look at him. He got on a thobe. He has a turban. He has on a qamis, a kufi. He looked like a Muslim. Why don't you give him salams the way you gave your brother Muslim salams that you know? So these are some of the signs of the last hour that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing us that will take place. This is also a sign that unfortunately is very evident. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to do what it takes to rid this sign of the last hour, hopefully giving us a chance to know this deen and practice this deen and get closer to Allah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Min ashrat al-sa'ati an yurfa al-ilmu, an yurfa al-ilmu, wa yathbut al-jahlu." And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, a Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from the signs of the last hour is that the removal of knowledge and the coming of the ignorance, or however you're supposed to say it. That the knowledge will leave and the ignorance will come. And in another narration, as I hear one of the brothers is trying to help out, that the knowledge would be taken away. And this knowledge that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about is, of course, the knowledge of this deen. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says in another narration of Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, indeed Allah will not snatch away the knowledge from the people by just snatching it away. but that the knowledge will be snatched away by the snatching away of the ulama, or in another narration, by the leaving of the ulama, or as the ulama themselves explain, by the dying off of the ulama. So much so until there's no scholar left, and the people take the ignorant as their leaders, and then those ignorant leaders are questioned, and then they give their verdicts without knowledge, and they go astray, and they lead the other people astray. And maybe no one could witness this as much as we witnessed this in America. In the past, where we took ignorant people as our leaders, and we questioned them, and they went astray, and they led us astray. And maybe in New York, over some of the other places, we've seen some of that ignorance lead the people astray with that following of Dr. York and his program. And now the people were led so far astray until they just came out and said, we ain't Muslims no more. Well, alhamdulillah. But you see how far it can go when you take the ignorant as your leader, and then they answer you without any ignorance, and then they lead you astray, and they themselves were already astray from the beginning. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us how this knowledge will be snatched away from us from the dying off of the ulama. And this, we should be encouraged to know that if the ulama die off and no more people of knowledge come after them, that we will be led astray by taking the ignorant as our leaders. This should be an encouragement for us ourselves to learn this deen, to understand this deen, and to pass this deen on to our children, and to encourage our children to learn this deen, to learn the Arabic, to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and to learn the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to learn the understanding of the Quran and the sunnah, and how it's to be applied in our lives. We need to put this and emphasize this with our children, because once this generation goes, from the people who have entered into Islam, fought for Islam, died for Islam, trying to hold on to this Islam, in the country that hates Islam, if our children don't learn this deen, then they'll be forced to just have the ignorant as their leaders and just everyone go astray. So we should take this sign, walaikum salam, that we see and that we're living it in, to encourage ourselves and our children to learn this deen so that we can practice this deen as we should. And since we see the widespread of the ignorance, and I have wanted to give an example and I'll let that go. At any rate, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had given us some other signs of the last hour, as he did in this hadith. سيكون في آخر الزمان شرطة يغدون في غضب الله ويروحون في سخط الله فإياك أن تكون من بطانتهم. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tabarani, said that there will come in the last part of time policemen, or people who defend the leaders. They would go in the morning in hate of Allah, and they would go and come with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hating them. So beware of being friends to them. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that among the signs of the last hour is criminal policemen, and that we should be aware of being their friends. And the ulama of today, they explain, using this as a proof, that it's not permissible for the Muslim man to be a policeman for these criminal Muslim governments in the world. And I remember asking one of the ulama, and I was ashamed to ask him this question after the ulama had said that it is haram for the Muslim to be policemen for the criminal governments in the world. I was ashamed to ask him. In America, we have Muslim men and Muslim women who are policemen for the Kafir government. Is it permissible? All they could answer, and this was all of the ulama that we asked, if it's haram to be a policeman for the Muslim governments who are oppressive, how much more is it to be for the Kafir government? And we see, unfortunately, Well, fortunately, as some people say, that we have Muslim policemen. And sometimes we think that this is good because they might offer us some type of protection. But the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us that these people go in for the criminal governments. And there are other narrations where the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had given some descriptions of them, as he says, صنفاني من أهل النار لم أرهما قوم معهم صيات كأذناب البقر يضربون بها الناس. That there are two types of people from the people of the hellfire who I have not seen yet. A group of people who have whips like the tails of the cows, and they beat the people with them. So here the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was given a description of those criminal policemen that would come, that are from the people of the hellfire, that would be a sign of the last hour. And I think, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, I remember some of the people saying that nowadays they don't carry the whip, but they carry the blackjack or the other stick that they carry, and they beat the people with it. So beware of being close friends to them. Also among the signs of the hour is the spread of riba, or usury, or interest. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, بَيْنَ يَدَيَ السَّاعَةِ يُظْهِرُ الرِّبَى. That close to the hour, riba would be spread, or usury would become widespread. And no one would doubt that nowadays riba is so widespread that only those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread His mercy on are saved from waging war on Allah and His Messenger by committing this evil or this major sin, major disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam showed the severity of this, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ بِمَا أَخَذَ الْمَالِ أَمِنْ حَلَالٍ أَمِنْ حَرَامٍ. The first hadith was a narration of Al-Tabarani, and this narration is from Imam Al-Bukhari and also Imam Al-Nasai, where the Prophet ﷺ said, there will come a time where the people won't even care where their wealth is acquired from, whether it's halal or it's haram. Whether it's halal or haram, and for sure we see that the people, even the Muslims, aren't even concerned how their money comes and how it goes, whether it's haram or not. And this thing of riba is so widespread that the ignorant fools who the people have taken as their leaders, from among the reports that I've saw from one of the so-called ignorant leaders who the people have taken as scholars in Egypt, who said that riba is permissible. Straight up, just like that. And of course the Kafirs took advantage of it, and I forgot what newspaper in New York printed it, and they translated it to show that, see, riba is permissible. In order to try to convince us, thinking that we don't know any better, that because somebody is supposed to be a scholar in a Muslim land, that whatever he says goes, even if it's against the Quran, even if it's against the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we see that riba has become so widespread that even the so-called scholars just come out and say it's permissible, after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, أحل الله البيع وحرم الربا, and that section of ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah has made buying and selling permissible, and He has made riba haram. And the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, in a hadith that's authentic, collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, he said, and I'm just paraphrasing the translation, he said that riba has 70 some levels or degrees, and that the lightest degree is like a man having sex with his mother and he knows that that's his mother. So you can imagine the worser levels of riba if this is the one that's considered not so bad. So this riba is among the signs of the hour, and we see how widespread it is, so much so that many of us, when we accepted Islam, that we were involved in riba, and when the Muslims told us, you know, it's no more riba, that we couldn't even imagine how a person could live without riba. And unfortunately, Muslims after years in Islam are still trying to imagine how could they live their life riba free. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins. Among the signs of the last hour is the making permissible or making permissible musical instruments, or al-ma'azif. As the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he said, in the authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِ أَقْوَامٌ يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَرَ وَالْحَرِيرَ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, there will definitely be from among my ummah people who would make fornication, silk, khamr or intoxicants, and ma'azif or musical instruments permissible. Here the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is showing us that among the signs of the hour is that there will be people in this ummah who will make things, these things permissible. And as we've seen in some of the Muslim lands, that nowadays it is permissible, legal, with the governments for a Muslim man to have a girlfriend or a Muslim lady to have a boyfriend. And that if they committed zina, fornication, that it was perfectly permissible so long as both our parties agreed that this was my boyfriend, this was my girlfriend. So people have actually made zina permissible. And from what we hear in America, the Muslims, unfortunately, with their actions, have made zina permissible. As we see that many people, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Muslim men real men, that they come with these sisters to the masjid, and the imam knows better than anyone, they come, marry me to so-and-so, or be the wali of my girlfriend that's pregnant, so that we can make this thing halal. How in the world are you going to make the haram halal? As the people usually come saying she's Christian, when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and his deen of Islam hasn't made it permissible for us to just marry the Christian women like that, but to marry the chaste Christian women. You fornicating with a lady until she had a baby or is having a baby, how in the world is that a chaste Christian lady that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made permissible for the Muslim men to marry? So we see that this zina or this fornication and adultery is widespread, and that it's among the signs of the last hour. Also among the signs of the last hour is that which the people who have just made Hajj and Umrah have witnessed, and that's beautifying the masjids. As the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتباهى الناس في المساجد. That the last hour would not come until the people compete in beautifying the masjids. And if anyone has seen the Prophet's masjid or the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, he would see that there's probably not a masjid on the face of the earth more beautiful than those masjids. And that this is actually one of the signs of the last hour when we will be beautifying our masjids. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says in another narration collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, من أشراط الساعة أن يتباهى الناس في المساجد. From the signs of the last hour is that the people will compete in beautifying the masjid. And from the narration of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, يتباهون بها ثم لا يعمرونها إلا قليلا. And then it was explained that التباهي بها العناية بزخرفتها. قال ابن عباس لتزخرفنها كما زخرفت اليهود والنصارى. And these are collected, and these narrations are collected by Imam al-Bukhari, where Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that the people would beautify the masjids, and then only a few people would enter the masjids or would occupy the masjids. And this beautifying the masjid was explained that it means concerning yourselves with making the masjid look good. And this is different from having the masjid clean. Cleaning the masjid is one thing, and beautifying and decorating the masjid is another thing, and I think that the people understand, inshallah. So this beautifying the masjid is one of the signs of the hour, and unfortunately, if the masjid isn't beautified, we might think that there's a problem. If the masjid is just plain and simple, like this masjid, alhamdulillah, just plain white walls, no decorations and stuff hanging anywhere, none of the bid'ah of having the mihrab and writing everywhere and all of that stuff, ayats from the Quran written all over the place. And you know how the people beautify the masjids with marble and copper and big domes and minarets and what have you. That this beautifying the masjid is just what the Jews and the Christians did. As Abdullah ibn Abbas said, indeed you will beautify the masjids just like the Jews and the Christians beautify their places of worship. Now, yes, the brother is asking me, can I describe the mihrab? The mihrab is that niche, they call it, in the wall where the imam goes in there and lead the people in the salah. This is from the Jews and the Christians, and it's not from Islam. This thing was an innovation, and Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullah, who died 911 Hijra, he wrote a book on the bid'ah of the mihrabs, and then he quoted the narrations from the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, who were against the building of the mihrabs in the masjid, showing that it's a waste of money and it's a decoration that Islam hasn't sanctioned. Yes. Yeah, the brother is asking, is having the minbar more than three steps like we see right here, which is the sunnah from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wassalam, is having those big minbars also decoration and bid'ah at the masjid? The ulama call those anything more than three steps is a bid'ah, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam had his minbar three steps, and that it is decoration beyond need. And that we should be, it should be sufficient for us, that which was sufficient for the best of humanity. The last prophet and messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had a wooden minbar three steps high. And as you see that, in some places the minbar is so high that it cuts three rows off. Meaning that it would be like that brother right there, all the way up to here, and imam is up here. So many rows are cut off that you wouldn't even know if the imam made sajda to tilawa. When he said Allahu Akbar after he read the Quran, that he didn't go into rukur, that he went down for sujood. You wouldn't even know because you're on the other side of the minbar. As one of the ulama was explaining when he was leading the salat in these days, and he was on the other side of the minbar, that he was reading Surah Maryam. And when he made the sajda from Surah Maryam, that he heard the people on the other side, when he said Allahu Akbar, they were wondering, wait a minute, what happened? We went to rukur, you were supposed to say Sami Allahu liman hamida. And you could just feel the uncomfortableness on the other side of the minbar where you can't even see the people, how they're acting, because they're disconnected from the Muslims. And we know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to keep the ranks tight and not to divide the rows. And this big bid'ah minbar is dividing. Astaghfirullah. It's dividing the Muslims. And that this division will enter into our hearts. And we see why we're divided because of these big minbars. So alhamdulillah, who has allowed us to have the success of having a simple masjid and a simple minbar. Alhamdulillah. Also among the signs of the last hour, and I had to include this one, as when I come to New York, I always think of it. And that's the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يكفر الهرج. That the last hour would not be established until killing is widespread. And I guess nobody knows how widespread killing is than the people in New York. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the signs to show us that this hour is coming and that it's near, and that every time we have to kill somebody or every time we hear of a killing, then we should think how close this hour is and how important it is for us to start getting our deen together so we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with pure hearts and good deeds. Also among the signs of the last hour, and I hope you brothers don't hold it against me because I chose some of the things that are closest to New York than other places, like this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad. Bayna yaday as-sa'a taslim al-khassa wa fashu at-tijara hatta tusharik al-mar'atu zawjaha fi at-tijara. That close to the last hour would be given salams to the people you know, or an elite group of people, the imam, the leader of security, the people who have the position in the masjid. You want to give them salam. Salamu alaikum, brother imam, how you doing today? How you doing, brother so and so? The brothers who have some type of position, the brothers we, you know, you want to give them salams in opposition to giving salams to the rest of the people, as if the rest of the people aren't equally your brothers as the imam and the other people. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and the widespread of tijara or trade, so much so that a lady would be helping her husband in business, showing the widespread of this buying and selling. And I said that in New York, you see it, as they say, I don't know how many millions of people come into New York in the day, in the daytime, to earn that dollar, and are out by the nighttime, showing how much business and trade is in the city. And that this is definitely a sign of the last hour. And because these signs are so close to us, then we should see them having effects on our lives. We have these signs right in front of our eyes here in New York or in the New York area, with all of this business and this trade, that you see that the streets are just flooded with stores, on top of stores, vendors in front of the stores. Not just a man with his wife helping him, the whole family is out there, children and everybody. Everybody trying to earn that so-called almighty dollar. When we see this widespread business and we're earning that money ourselves, and alhamdulillah, and may he increase us in our wealth, we should be among the best Muslims in the world, witnessing these signs right in front of our eyes. We should be practicing this deen like the sa'a is going to be tomorrow, because we're witnessing all of the signs of the hour. Also among the signs of the hour, and we'll start to wrap it up inshallah, is the absence or the dying off of the righteous. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says in this hadith collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and it's authentic, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يأخذ الله شريطته من أهل الأرض فيبقى فيها عجاجة لا يعرفون معروفا ولا ينكرون منكرا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the last hour would not be established until Allah takes His righteous people, those people who are on the deen and they're doing good, and then no one would be left except the bad people who don't practice this deen, the people who don't enjoy what is right, and nor do they forbid what is wrong. So here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that from among the signs of the last hour is the absence of the righteous. And we can see it so much so that almost as if there's no righteous from among us. If we look and we read the stories of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, we would say, like I used to hear some people say, that was for them. Nobody can do what they did. That's why they were the Prophet. That's why he was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why they were the companions. Of course they was going to fight jihad and get up at night and make the hajjud and fast and live simple lives and give all of their wealth fi sabilillah, because they were who they were and we are who we are. As if it's okay to just be a criminal, bad Muslim. And that when we hear the stories of the people who came before us, that we say, oh, that was for them. Yes.
You all said make a Muslim instrument, and they would
Where did that say the hadith was? All right, here the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing us that the people who are really, really, really on this deen will just leave, and that's a sign of the last hour. And we see, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, just look at our lives as Muslims, and look at the lives of our family and our children. No one has to tell us that the righteousness level amongst us is so low, as if almost there's no righteous from among us. That the righteous from among us are half-stepping, not really down with this deen, not really practicing this deen. This is how bad it's gotten. And I think I was mentioning one time before that when we had made that Umrah to Egypt, that the three of us were the only brothers when we were riding around the downtown area and around the city, you know, sightseeing and stuff. We're the only Muslims with beards and thobes on in Cairo, a city that's supposed to be all Muslim. We're the only ones with kufis, thobes, and beards on. Women, wallahi, you wouldn't see no difference from what you see out here than what you see there. So much so that we were wondering, where the Muslims at? And the people had to say, where the Muslims at? I'm Muslim, what you talking about? All of us Muslims. We in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, we can't find one date to break our fasting. Wallahi. And when someone finally got us some dates, they were so old, they look like the time when the Sahaba conquered Egypt, that he left those dates behind. This was this past Ramadan. When the Adhan was being called, we were asking where the masjid were, and I was accustomed from being in Medina, when the Adhan is called, you don't have to ask where the masjid is. If you're in an area you don't know where you are, you just see where the people going, follow them. Because the people going to the masjid. People, where the masjid at, Akhi? Over there. Where the masjid at, over there. Yeah, and he's saying over there, but he's not pointing anywhere. Wallahi, we find the masjid people up and down the street. There's a few of us in the masjid. People right outside of the masjid partying, not entering into the masjid. Yes. Tafaddal ya akhi, asif. Yes, I think everybody knows. You want me to add that on? I'm aware of that. The sisters can't hear you. And I was saying before that if the brothers give a lecture, then they should come and take the microphone so that the sisters could hear that what's going on. But I can mention the point too, I'm aware of it. In Egypt, everyone knows that there's a criminal government there, and that they lock the Muslims up for practicing Islam, and that they're against the people who are trying to be on the Sunnah. Yeah, we're aware. I can mention all of that. The brother is just trying to show that the government is the one that's oppressing the people, and this is why the Muslims were the way they were. But we can say of the truthfulness of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his statement, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين, that there will never cease to be a party of my ummah on the truth, and they will be victorious. So alhamdulillah, we were able to see before we left Egypt a man, one man, in a thobe. Alhamdulillah, it was above his ankles, and he had a big beard. And alhamdulillah, we know Muslims from Egypt who go to Egypt and leave Egypt and make salat in Egypt, and they're standing on this deen like it, who likes it, and hate it, who hate it. I was just trying to make the point that those people who are practicing this deen, those righteous, are a handful of people, almost not even saw, almost you don't even see them. To show that this is a sign of the last hours, it's time for us to get on this deen and to be ready to meet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we don't have that much time left. I didn't want to get into all of the details of Egypt, because I could have took Tunis as an example, I could have took Libya as an example, I could have took Morocco as an example, I could have took Jordan, Syria, Palestine, anywhere we wanted to take, we could have took as an example. We can take here in America, and I started off with an example to see amongst the Muslims. I walked into a restaurant, a brother, just the other day. We go into a restaurant, let's go eat halal. We go to Jersey City, we walk into the place. And if we don't look like Muslims, I don't know what we look like. The brothers in there don't give no kind of salams. Excuse me, can I help you? And it seems as if he was a foreign brother from Egypt or Philistine or Palestine. Excuse me, can I help you, brothers? I said, we want a gyro. When I looked, I saw the gyro on the gyro stand. The brothers had told me that the gyro on the gyro stand is haram, because the people haven't been able to put the halal gyro on that gyro stick and roll it around like the gyro. At any rate, so I was a little suspicious. Excuse me, you sure? Because all of the Muslims that make the gyro, they just have the meat cut up and they don't have it on that gyro stand. I said, I don't know, I'm suspicious. Let's ask the brother. We asked the brother, he said, I can't tell a lie. I swear to God that this meat is not halal. I said, Allahu Akbar. All right, let's get out of here. He said, okay, have a nice day. We said, bye-bye. How in the world could this take place between me and that person who was supposed to be a Muslim? Really, and I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me if I'm at fault. I try to dress like a Muslim, and I try to give the salams to the Muslims who I know and who I don't know, but I'm in the land of the kafir, and the general rule is you are kafir until otherwise. You are kafir until we otherwise know you're Muslim. Otherwise, everybody's my enemy, and everybody's a kafir till he show he's a Muslim and he's on my side. So he ain't give me the salams, I ain't give him the salams. I ain't speaking Arabic, I spoke in English. We in English, even though I can see that it looked like maybe Arabic's his language from his pronunciation. But I'm just showing how far off the Muslims everywhere are from this deen, that you go into a Muslim store and he got the lottery machine there. He got pork and alcohol and what have you, and he just say, oh, I'm a bad Muslim. Oh, you a bad Muslim, and you lucky we haven't practiced Islam to put you in check like you're supposed to be. I'm just showing the reality or the nearness of this hour, and that among its signs is the absence of the righteous people. The last sign that we wanted to mention is from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's a long hadith and I'm going to take part of it, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has said, min ashrat as-sa'a, and then he mentioned, an tadhhura thiyabun talbisuha nisa'un kasiyatun ariyat, that among the signs of the last hour is that there will be a type of clothing that will be worn by women that clothes them, though they're still naked. And nobody could witness that more than the brothers who have to say astaghfirullah all the way home every day. And much as we say astaghfirullah from what we're seeing and how we're trying to lower our gaze and not to look at that scum, filth of the earth that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alhamdulillah has made haram for us, as we are staying away from that, but as we're reminded of it every day, it should be an encouragement for us to practice this deen. And this is the whole issue of these signs of the hour, not just to know, oh, you know some signs of the hour, oh, I know this is the signs of the hour and this is that. Not to just be talk on our tongues, but this should be an encouragement for us to practice this deen. And this is what I was saying from the beginning, that the Muslim creed or the Muslim belief. It's not something that we hold in our hearts or we say on our tongues, but it's that which encourages us to practice this deen properly so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be pleased with us. This is what I wanted to offer today. And if it was an encouragement for us to do any good, then it's from Allah. And if there was anything wrong, then it's from me. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and beneficial knowledge and to allow us to work by that knowledge. And we seek refuge in Allah from knowledge that doesn't benefit. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillah. Oh yeah, the brother had a question and I kind of cut him off so I didn't lose track. This was for me. Is this somebody's soda or a cat drink? No. That's whose? I take some juice or some water, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. The brother was asking when we were covering the issue of the sign of the last hour of people making musical instruments permissible and the use of musical instruments. The brother wanted me to repeat a point. I didn't know any other point except that point. Oh, the other things that were mentioned in that hadith?
Yes.
That people would make zina permissible, they would make silk permissible, and you see the men wearing silk, unfortunately. And I remember years ago that silk wasn't made for men. We used to wear that what we used to call the silk shirts, but they were made out of nylon. Now they really have real men's silk underwear, and even these track suits and stuff, they're coming out with silk track suits for men. And people are making this thing, this beautiful material that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only made permissible for His precious jewels among the Muslim women, that the men are making it permissible. Also khamar or intoxicants. And I don't know if the Muslims are still making it permissible, like they used to say that anything natural from the earth is halal because it's from Allah and Allah created it, to say that it was permissible to smoke weed. And you see in the Muslim world this drink called Musi, I don't know, huh? So also that drink Saruchi, that Chinese drink, it's intoxicating and it's haram. And the Muslims are making this stuff permissible, talking about it's from China or Japan or wherever, and it's supposed to have certain qualities and power and to make you intoxicate and leave you away from the remembrance of Allah. So this is also among the things of the last hour. And then was the musical instruments. Yes, we'll get to that. Yes, Akhir.
I can
Yeah, it's not permissible for the Muslim men to be working for the kafir criminal governments. And I don't want to say anything more than that, you know, because it's a hard pill to swallow, and we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in iman, and we have to make the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atika. Oh Allah, musarrif al-qulub, the one who changes the hearts, change our heart to obedience to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the people as He has tested them. But Allah has made His earth spacious, and He made it big enough for the people to seek halal means. And that's why Allah is going to question us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, were our means halal or they were haram? As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the authentic hadith, and I'm paraphrasing it, that we will be questioned about five things, and among those things are your wealth, where did you earn it, and where did you spend it. And just with that in mind, we should be thinking as we come to the masjid to learn Islam and to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we should be trying to empty our pockets every now and then in the sadaqah box for this masjid. and for the da'wah of this masjid, to buy books, to have free literature for the people who accept Islam, for the maintenance and upkeep of the masjid, to help to help the imam himself, that we should always look at how we spend our money, as we're going to be questioned about how we spend our money. And at times, when we're buying junk food, or trying to buy the extra piece of clothing, or so on and so forth, to keep up with the Joneses, or the kuffar in general, that we should try to take that extra money and say, instead of buying that junk food or whatever, that I'll put that money in the sadaqah box. Instead of buying that extra pair of kafir jeans, I'll put that $50 in the sadaqah box. Instead of buying a new pair of sneakers, I'll wash my sneakers and put that $100 in the sadaqah box. And so on and so forth, because we're going to be questioned about our wealth. Yes. All right, the brother is asking first about the musical instruments, and could I go into detail? I was asked about this before, and we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us with this statement, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, read in the name of your Lord who created, to read, and the importance of reading and learning our deen. There's an excellent book written on this issue of music and singing. And the brother is saying that he has the book downstairs. So whoever wants to know the verdict from in light of the Quran and the Sunnah, or any of the details, or some of the shades of the meaning of the word ma'azif, or musical instruments, and everything related to that, that they should look at the book. Otherwise, it's an issue that I don't think I could give the justice to in 5 minutes or a couple of minutes in answering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I had a question, is paying a... about the security guard. I think the brother had kind of hinted, if you're an agent or a worker for that criminal government, supporting their kufr and upholding their tawagheed, then that stuff is not permissible. So if you're in a security guard, I mean, depending on what, if you're a security guard in the White House, or, you know, depending on that. But alhamdulillah, the Muslims that have their own security businesses, the people should try to get with the Muslims who have businesses, alhamdulillah, to go and support the Muslim businesses and to be security men for the Muslims with the contracts that the Muslims make, because the Muslims can make the contracts that they want to make, and you'll be working for the Muslim instead of the kafir. Is paying a fee on a checking account riba? I think, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, these checking accounts, because they handle your checks, that they're doing you a service, and that fee is to pay for that service. If that's the case, then there's no riba involved. You're paying for a service. If that's the case, then there's no fee involved. You're paying for a service. What did you say about a woman working with her husband? Something about widespread business. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was just showing that business would be so widespread that even the women would be helping their husbands. These signs of the hour don't necessarily mean that something is haram because it's taking place. Doesn't necessarily mean that that thing is haram that's taking place. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam just shows that it's taking place. Like some of the things I didn't mention, there will be a lot of earthquakes. Is earthquakes, having an earthquake haram? I mean, subhanAllah. So it's not the issue of it being haram or not. It's just an information to show you that when this thing happens, that the hour is near, so prepare yourself. Yes. It's Surah An-Nisa, verse number 96. And it might be 97. The brother was asking me about a verse in the Quran where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala had said that the abode of the people who remained in Mecca and didn't make the hijrah to Medina, that it would be the hellfire. And anyway, that was the issue that we had discussed in our masjid for 3 weeks recently. And the brother has tapes. It was called The Unknown Made Known to Those Who Want to Know the Hijrah, referring about the hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers. Why should brothers have more than one wife? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages them to have more than one wife. And his statement in the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. I encourage you to have the women that you please, 2, 3, or 4. And of course we know that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has told us, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that you would have in the Messenger of Allah the finest example, and his example was to have more than one wife, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we have the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, that the best of you are the ones that have the most wives, not more than four, meaning up to four though, showing that if a brother has two, then inshallah he's better than the one who has one, and whoever has three is better than the one who has two, and like that. All us sisters are sick of it. Explain. I hope that that was an explanation, and the brothers shouldn't be hard on the sisters, as just as this is a hard pill for some of the sisters to swallow, the men keeping their pants out of the hellfire from being below their ankle is a hard pill to swallow. So maybe the sisters should start encouraging their brothers or their husbands to be on the sunnah. And that if the husband doesn't want to be on the sunnah, don't be with the husband. You don't even have to worry about him getting another wife, because you don't even have him, because he's not being on the sunnah. As for the men who are on the sunnah, who want more than one wife, and we have quite a few brothers who are looking for more. So if there are any young virgins available, please make yourselves known to the Imam so that we can enjoy the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. So those sisters, they should just be patient with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed as a part of this deen and is perfectly permissible. And just as the sisters have difficulties trying to practice this deen, so do us brothers. So don't try to beat the sisters down and say, oh, the sisters ain't really serious about Islam because they don't want to allow the husbands to practice polygyny. Or they say, like the sister said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her, because she has definitely fallen into something which is very grave by saying all of us sisters are sick of it. And that no one, and that this is actually a statement of kufr. And that if the sister understood what she was saying, and that she wasn't coerced into saying it, and that she persists in saying this, it will take her outside of Islam. If that sister understands what she's saying, and she knows that this statement is kufr, and she persists in this statement, not being forced to, but willingly desiring to commit this statement of kufr, she will leave Islam. So the brother shouldn't chase the sister out of Islam, but we're ummah, we're brothers and sisters. We should be kind and compassionate to one another. We should try to work with one another and help one another to practice this deen, as no one knows more than ourselves the difficulty of trying to practice Islam in the land of kufr. Yes. Oh, could I just take that brother? He went out of time.